Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Dear Abby. I'm your host, and if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the space is a little bit different today. I am not in my normal space. I am across the world. I'm just kidding. I'm just in a different state, and I'm bad at planning still, even though I've been doing this podcast for years now and I did not plan well. And so I had to get everything and set up with different equipment and gear where I'm at. I'm not really vacationing. I'm still kind of working, but yeah, I didn't plan well enough, but I'm still doing it because that's what you do, people. You wake up at 3 a.m. and you grind until you make $1 million a month. Because that's all that matters. I'm just going to keep going through that because I don't know how to turn it off. Just kidding. But here we are and I'm excited. Today has been kind of a crazy day. Hold on. Kian's bringing me my chai latte. Thanks. We're here visiting some of Kian's family and I've also been not training yet, but have been shadowing Keaton's sister-in-law that is a midwife, and I've been shadowing because I'm interested in being a doula, and I think it's something that has always intrigued me, like the nutrition part, the even counter pressure, the prep work that goes into that, the emotional, mental awareness, and all of that fun stuff is stuff that I love. And so I've thought a lot about getting into it. And so I'm here shadowing, watching births, and it's been kind of crazy, but it's been really eye-opening. And yeah, it's just been blowing my mind, honestly. And I think even if it's just for a couple of years or something to help me pay through school, if I want to be a psychologist or get a master's in psychology or whatever. I don't really know what I want to do still, but yeah, it's been really interesting and I'm excited to see where it goes. And hopefully, I can keep stomaching the births because it's normal, I guess, to even if you're interested in that field to be shocked or just like, this is crazy the first couple, but then you get not necessarily desensitized. You're just able to be super present still. And as somebody who feels very heavy for other people when they're experiencing different emotions, I am going to have to learn how to deal with that and not internalize everything, but also be able to figure out and use that empathy for something useful and helpful and beneficial to whoever I'm helping. So yeah, I'm interested. It's crazy. I feel pretty tired because it's been a long 24 hours, but and it's just a lot of new stuff. So I think I feel a little bit, yeah, just tired, a little bit disassociated, to be honest. And I know that people listening can understand that. So I'm just going to be super honest about that. But I'm really nervous and I'm really excited. I think when you feel like really nervous about something, I just want to be really good at whatever I do. And especially if I'm assisting people in some of the most important times of their life, I want to be really, really good and really educated and really on top of everything. So I'm just going to try to soak in all of the knowledge, but it's really exciting. So we'll see where that goes. I'm really excited. I'm sure I'll start advertising, at least in Orange County, as a doula pretty soon. So you'll probably see that. And just, yeah, go all into it. I know this is really crazy. It feels really crazy because I've just been doing the same type of job and work pretty much my whole life. So this is kind of out of left field, but I think it's close to what I feel called to do. And I think it'll be better for me I think it's just pushing my comfort zone because I'm very comfy in an office job 9 to 5. Even though times I feel like it's killing me creatively and everything, and this will be probably overwhelming for a while, but I think it'll be worth the transition. But it's going to be kind of a painful adjustment, I think, to this type of environment versus what I've been used to like most of my life. But I didn't pass out, and I didn't pass out. I was very calm. I was cool, collected, but it was pretty wild, I will say. I've seen lots of videos, but being in person was a whole other level. But it didn't fully scare me away, so I think that's a good sign. And I think I just want to get better and better and more educated and more educated. And yeah, so pretty crazy. So if I seem kind of low energy, it's because I am, but I always love being here, and it's actually helping me ground myself a little bit. So thank you to everyone who's listening. Oh, and what's crazy is the photographer at that birth. She said she listened to my podcast and what we said, and I thought that was crazy because my podcast isn't huge. You know, I'm not someone that's super well known. It's, again, like I say in my intro, it's like our little corner of the internet, and it's a tiny, 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 minuscule corner. But it was just crazy to hear that and to meet someone at such a random time. Like, that was my first birth that I've ever witnessed with my own eyes. So that was pretty crazy. So shout out to her. And that's about it for life updates. I feel like there was another one. Oh yeah, wedding planning is hard, and it's so hard to find a venue that's not $20,000. When I say I'm keeping it small, it's like we're talking a couple thousand dollars. That's it, because I've just never been someone, and neither has my family, where we want to spend a lot of money. And it's not because we don't think it's not important. I think it's just I would rather go on a nice vacation, and I'd rather have more money on like a down payment on a house. To me, is a little bit more important than throwing a big party. Plus, I don't really like huge parties like that. I think I would way rather just have it be intimate and beautiful and meaningful. So it's very hard to find a venue for that type of wedding. I thought I found a perfect one on Airbnb because a lot of them do venues, and I fell in love with it, but it was advertised as way cheaper, but it was actually like almost $20,000. So I'm like, why do they do that? I feel like so many places advertise venues and places like that for a lot cheaper, and then they charge you a lot more. And then once you actually get a quote, it's like 6 times the quote that they had on their website. Yeah, I don't know. It's still really fun. I still love Pinteresting all of it and making little collages of everything that I want. I will always like doing that, but I'm pretty overwhelmed with a lot of it also. But it's all good, but it's also all kind of overwhelming. I think I just need like a day to myself and to cry and to not feel pressure with everything I feel. I just feel super overwhelmed and disconnected with myself, which doesn't feel very good. I hate this feeling, but it's just life. Sometimes you don't realize that it's getting overwhelming until it is. And yeah, it's just getting overwhelming. So I just need to take some me time and let myself process, feel, cry, and then recuperate. And then I'll have more energy and I'll be more. But I'm so excited to try on wedding dresses. That's like all I can think about sometimes is just trying on a wedding dress. And yeah, I'm just so excited. Okay, so my dubs for this week are, I think I'm just really proud of myself for doing a lot of things that are not usually within my comfort zone. But I've been feeling kind of complacent and stuck, and so I'm trying to push that. So I'm just really proud of myself, but I think to show myself that I need to take some time for me and just to recuperate and relax. And yeah, just I need to take deeper breaths. Honestly, I'm realizing I've been holding my breath a lot for the past couple of days, and I need to breathe more. Sometimes I saw a video where this girl was saying the best way to reset your nervous system and to calm your nervous system is to just slow down. So even recording this, I feel like I'll notice myself talking really, really fast. And then I have to consciously make a decision to slow it down. And I feel like that just helps everything start to calm down. My L is definitely that I haven't gone to therapy in a long time. I said I was going to stop or just see her way less. And I still want to do that. But now it's been almost 2 months, which I wanted to do it like once a month or once every 3 weeks, because I still struggle daily. And I struggled a lot today just because of just the new environment and the intensity of everything. And so, but I still handled everything and I got through it. And here I am. I'm alive and well. And I didn't go crazy, I don't think. So, but yeah, it's definitely still something I struggle with is OCD. And it's just one of those days where I feel like, is it ever going to get better? But I know it's gotten better, but it's sometimes you just question and you just get tired of the endless thoughts. I don't want to cry, but I'm just tired. I'm just overwhelmed, I think, right now. So anyways, the reason I haven't seen my therapist is because I hope she's okay. I've just gotten a lot of updates about how she had to take a leave of absence for, I think, medical reasons or something. So I have no idea. I'm sure she's fine. I'm sure she's okay because she's going to come back. Like, they have a date for, I think, in 2 weeks or something. But it has been a long time. And so they did offer, like, if you want someone else. And I'm like, I love my therapist and I've been with her for so long now that I don't really want to restart with someone else. I think I'd rather just talk to her again. So I think that's why I've been feeling a little bit disconnected too, is because I've had a lot of intrusive thoughts, like repetitive thoughts, and they still really bother me. And there's just a lot of them. And so it just gets exhausting. Like, I know how to handle it because I've been handling it for years now, but it just sometimes peaks, you know, it gets really bad all of a sudden. And then you get discouraged and it's a whole thing. So that's been an L. I think because this is how I've been feeling, my attitude today is just to remind everyone, including myself, to like let yourself process everything and feel everything. And you don't have to feel a certain way, which is sometimes is how I feel. Like, okay, I've gotten engaged and I'm so happy, but how come I feel overwhelmed? Like, I should only be excited. That kind of stuff where it's like you're going to feel overwhelmed and there's not like a right way to feel, I guess. It's just whatever. However I feel is how I feel. And I think I'm just really struggling with that. I've learned that when you think you're being compassionate enough to yourself, you're probably still not being as compassionate as you can be and as you're allowed to be, I guess, if that makes sense. Sometimes I can still be really hard on myself, and it's just something, it's so hard to be super self-compassionate and really accept and love yourself as you are, as you're broken and you're anxious and you're confused and you doubt all of these things. And it's like really hard to accept and love yourself where you're at. But I feel like that's where the magic is when you can. And I feel like that just alleviates all of this tension and stressful energy and overwhelm. It's just alleviated for me when I can fully accept and love myself as I am right now. So the main things that I wanted to talk about today were, what I wanted to talk about today were two separate things. But first, I just want to say I've gotten a lot of feedback on my episode that I did of relationship anxiety and relationship OCD. And there's a lot of questions and messages I got that people related to this and they wanted to hear more of that. And so they wanted to hear more of that. And so I'm more than happy and I will definitely be making more episodes more often about that specific topic and things that I've done to help, and also I think just being super honest about what that experience has been like for me so that other people feel less alone, yeah, is probably what I'm going to do moving forward. So I can do that specific topic more often because there's a lot of interest in that. So I'm happy to do it. I nerd out to that stuff and I've been kind of off my grind of that, but I want to get back into it. And by off my grind, and by that, I just mean learning and studying and becoming better in my relationship and for myself and all of that stuff. So look forward to that. So I look forward to that. Okay, now what I actually wanted to talk about today was sometimes when I think about my recovery and about doing exposure work or just any kind of therapy homework, I sometimes will intellectualize it and I will say, okay, yeah, I can see how that helps because it does this to my brain and blah, 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 blah. That is not helpful. And that actually does not help me at all get better because I actually have to experience everything and experience the fear, experience the painful thoughts, and then make the changes in how I respond to it. And that's where it comes. Like, it's not, from what I understand, and I'm not professional, when you intellectualize or that part of your brain, that's not even where your OCD or your anxiousness is coming from. It's coming from a different part. Like your, oh my gosh, I know this word and it's going to drive me crazy. I've studied this a lot. Do you know how many YouTube videos I've watched of this? It's insane. In podcasts I've listened to, and I don't remember what the name is. It's not the hypothalamus. Maybe it is. I think OCD is a little bit different than just anxiety and like your fight and flight response. But the part of your brain that understands what is a threat and what is not regarding specifically OCD, from my understanding, is not helped by intellectualizing at all. It is only helped by experiencing and reacting in a different way. And then that's how it learns. So you can't fake go through it. You have to go through it. And I think, ironically, relating back to birth is what I'm thinking about right now, because that was crazy. And crazy beautiful and crazy just like jaw-dropping is it's really common. I've heard this a ton even before kind of jumping into this world, but jumping into the world of giving birth and all of that stuff is when you get close to actually having the baby come out is when it feels extremely overwhelming. And that's when a lot of people, most women, will say, like, I can't do this. Like, I'm scared. I can't do this. Because you have to actually go through it 100%. There's no part of you that is not going to go through it. You have to go through it to get to the other side. And that's sometimes really scary. It doesn't have to be scary, but it usually feels scary because it's new. And so you're like growing and it's like, but you have to go through it fully and you have to surrender like this part of you that wants to control over everything. And you just have to give up a certain part of, you don't even have control, but this clinging you have sometimes to the control and to knowing everything and to trying to understand everything. And we want everything to go good. And that just sometimes causes more pain and I think more anxiety. I think that it's very beautiful and very scary, but also it's beautiful to watch then after how you can look back and think, oh my gosh, I did that. Like, I experienced that. That was me. Like, I did that. And that's how I feel with. And so just relating that back. So that's how I was thinking about OCD recovery and just those things and anything where you have to really go through it, even though it's really painful, but it's real. And I think we like to distract ourselves and watch things that make us feel comfy and cozy to distract ourselves from the things that are real and uncertain and hard and scary. Because it's just easier to, obviously, to distract yourself or to want things to be easy and comfortable. Life just isn't that. And I think there's definitely a reason why it's not. I've been wanting to apply that to recovery, where I'm not just intellectualizing and thinking, okay, yeah, I'll just, you know, kind of fake this exposure, not fake it, but I don't know what the word is, but not really let myself feel a lot of the things because they feel big and they feel yucky. They feel horrible. Like sometimes when I think of the voice that is like shame in my head, it feels really overwhelming. And sometimes it gets quieter when I do the work, like actually do the work. But sometimes it's really loud when I'm not putting in as much effort. And it just makes a world of difference. But yeah, it can be really hard. But yeah, it's freaking hard. And giving up that part of you into trusting something bigger is really scary. But I think that's where like the ease but I think that's where the rest comes in, and the peace is in the surrendering. And that's also where the recovery is, specifically with OCD, is actually doing the exposures, but also actually changing your beliefs if need be, like your limiting beliefs. I thought when I first started recovery, I was going to have to like not be a Christian, and I couldn't practice my faith because I was doing it because I was OCD or something. And that's so not the case, I've learned, because I was like, okay, maybe I'll just take a step back from everything. And I did. And it was nice for a little bit, but then I really missed like my prayer life. I really missed reading scripture and all of that stuff. And I realize that's something that's so important to me and it fills my life, but it still gets really intertwined with OCD. It's very quick to latch onto then being perfect and all of these other things within that it can grasp onto within faith and religion and stuff. But it's all part of life, is the journey of it. And we like to think we know everything, but the more I learn about life, the more I recognize that I literally know nothing. And I know some things, and we like to think that we know everything because we study and we read a lot and all of these things, and we think about things, we intellectualize things, but when it comes down to it, we really don't know that much. And that's scary. With exposures moving forward and anything that I have to do, honestly, that's not fun, but is good for me and healthy for me. I just have to actually do it and go through it and not intellectualize and turn that part of my brain off and just trust. Yeah, it reminds me of a quote that I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, where it says the magic is in the work that you're avoiding. And there's just something magical about doing the work, and that looks like a billion different things, but it's kind of like whatever you're avoiding, whatever feelings, whatever task, whatever conversation, whatever you're avoiding. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about was having a mindset. If you're starting something new, or if you're getting into a field that already has a lot of people, career-wise, or just if you're passionate about something, or you like to paint or something, and you're getting into it and you feel like, well, why should I do it? There's already so many people that are doing it. Or even if you're trying to get into social media or content creation, I think sometimes it's like made fun of, and I understand, like, well, A, who cares? Because what they say doesn't affect you at all. Even though it might, it definitely affects me sometimes, but I feel like now I just don't. Like, if someone makes fun of me, I just think like, it doesn't actually affect me, so I'm not going to let it affect me. And I don't have to let it hurt me. I was just thinking how everyone has something to offer that's unique. And sometimes I think when people share their stories or their experiences or their faith or their art or something online, and they share information that's personal, whatever, and then there's comments or there's people saying stuff about how you know, why do you need to share this? Like, why does everyone feel the need to share what they think? And why does everyone feel the need to, I guess, share their story and think that they're going to get famous from it or something? And I think I've had that sentiment towards me as well with sharing like my feelings on my podcast. And I just think it's kind of silly to not think that people should be sharing, because everyone's story, life story, and experiences with different parts of their life are so unique and they're so special. And so many different types of stories help so many different types of people that relate to that specific side of a story or that experience. Because, and this is maybe a little bit dramatic, but I don't really care, everybody is priceless, and their souls, their hearts are priceless, and everyone's story is priceless. And there's not like this end to how many people can have a beautiful life. You know, it's not just like a cutoff where, okay, we see so many people talking about their experience with having children or not having children, or their experience with mental health, or their experience with a death of a loved one, or their experience with something happy like traveling the world. Like, we see so many different experiences, and I think because we overconsume them and we see so many different things and so many of the same things, it starts to desensitize the beauty of those stories. And not that I think we have to feel the full extent of the depth and the feelings in every person's story, but I think to start to belittle and to diminish the meaning of a lot of these, just of the lives of the people around us, because we see them and they're repetitive, I just think that's like not a healthy place to be in society, because that's like all we have. And I think, I don't know, I think I just see a sentiment of, why does everyone feel like they have to share their story? And I think everyone should share their story, because it's theirs and it's not like anyone else's. Anyways, I know that's kind of dramatic, but I think it helps me, honestly, with more of like an abundance mindset, that there is no cutoff to beautiful experiences, and there is no cutoff of how many people can have beautiful or bad experiences. And just because so many people are struggling with mental health doesn't mean that it's not real, just because now there's a lot of it. I think it just means that we need more help as a society, and people need to take more responsibility and to, that doesn't, and taking responsibility doesn't mean to suppress emotions and to act like everything's okay and to keep moving forward. Sometimes taking responsibility is slowing down and processing things, and that's taking responsibility. Because that can be harder than just going through the motions. Anyways, I think that just helps me at least have an abundance mindset with my life and my experiences and the beauty in those, and makes me feel more patient and loving towards others, because I'm not in a rush for something. I don't even know what I don't know why people feel in a rush for something, but I feel like we just do because we consume a lot of the same things over and over and over and over again. And again, I don't know if any of that thing, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. And I don't know if any of that made sense, so I'm sorry if it didn't, but just a bunch of mind vomit, basically. Okay, so I'm going to do a Dear Abby. This one's a text message. I don't know why I've been holding my iPad like this the whole time. Dear Abby, I recently got married and find myself struggling to communicate with my husband about my OCD. He's aware I have it, but he has a difficult time understanding it, especially when it comes to religion or when I obsess about our relationship or other interactions with other people. He tries his best and always asks how he can help me or what he can do when I'm in an OCD funk, but I never know what to say because I genuinely don't know what would help in those moments. I find myself trying to trying to hide when I am upset because it feels too overwhelming to try to explain to him what's wrong or obsessively ask for reassurance. What are some tips you have for communicating with your partner about OCD and how they can best help you in the moment? Thank you in advance. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and it has helped me feel less alone with OCD struggles. I like this question. Okay, I think the first thing that comes to mind is it's okay if you can't perfectly articulate everything that you're feeling. And it's okay that you don't know exactly what you need in those moments, because I think that takes a long time to figure out. And OCD feels so complex and feels so complicated because it kind of can be. Which might be controversial to say, but I think it can be kind of complicated. So that's okay. Be patient with yourself with that. And I know it's like we want to get it fixed now and we want them to perfectly understand exactly what we're going through because we don't want to be alone. And I've definitely felt like that. And I get really frustrated when my fiance doesn't like understand what I'm going through and isn't helping me. And I think that's, I mean, it just stems from feeling alone. I think with OCD, you feel so lonely sometimes. And especially when you have a partner that doesn't really understand mental health struggles, you feel a little bit more lonely. And sometimes that I really struggle with that, with just like, that kind of sucks. It doesn't feel good to be alone. However, there are some things that you can do to feel less alone and to invite them into your inner world for a second, and not necessarily in the dark times, but I think just to let them be there for you. I think one way to have him help you and be there for you is to say something along the lines of, I just feel super overwhelmed with my OCD right now. I feel really scared and I feel kind of helpless. And I think I just need you to be here with me. And like, you can hug me, you can validate me, because you still should get validation from others. If you need it, it's not reassurance. It's not like, okay, no, you're a good person. That was a normal interaction. Like, you were great. Validation can look more like, I'm sorry that you feel like you messed that conversation up, or I'm sorry you feel like you're unlovable, or whatever, you know, that feeling is. But to be honest, I feel like I've learned that because my fiance has never experienced OCD, I've kind of let go of trying to get him to understand it, because he never will. Like, he will never, I don't think he will ever understand. Which can be hard, because all you want is to be understood. So I think taking the pressure off of trying to get him to understand and trying to get your husband, or I think it was your husband, to understand you or to understand your OCD, it's exhausting. And taking that weight off will help you kind of get out of this loop of, he needs to understand in order to be there for me. I don't think he needs to fully understand in order to be there for you. I think his capacity of being there for you is really all he can offer. And we can tell him we're really struggling, but sometimes we need more support, like support groups or listening to my podcast. I'm glad that you do, because sometimes it is really helpful to hear someone else, and you know you're not alone, and you know you have someone who does understand you. So I think maybe if you're desperately looking for him to understand, maybe try to let that go. And maybe try to accept the fact that he will never understand if he doesn't have it. No matter how perfectly you articulate it, it's just pretty complex. I think just accept the love that he's showing you and that he's trying to help. And you can accept that as his love and as him being there for you. But I will say, for me, only because I'd feel almost kind of bad if I didn't insert a little bit about my faith with trying to feel understood, because that's been a huge thing for me, is like believing that someone did experience everything that I've experienced, just so that exact feeling of wanting to be understood and wanting to be, have someone come to your level and understand. Like, I do think that we have someone that did that, which is obviously Jesus I'm referring to. which is really helpful for me. But if you're not into that, totally fine. Just thought I'd throw that out there just because that's really helped me. So if I'm giving advice, I'm never going to not say it if that's actually something that's helped me, because then I would just be lying. And another thing is, which I talk about a lot, is not putting the pressure on him to fix your OCD, or not putting the pressure on him to perfectly empathize or perfectly sympathize with your exact condition. I think it's like a dream. That would be a dream, to have someone who you're with and who perfectly understands the hard things you go through. I don't think that that really exists in most relationships, because even if you think of someone, if say I got really sick, or let's say he got really sick and he's experiencing a lot of pain in his body and it's not something that you understand, you could try to be there for him, but because you don't know exactly what he's going through, you'll feel a little bit helpless, which is probably how he feels. But also, it's just something that you won't really understand unless you go through. And so it doesn't matter how much you would explain the pain, because you're not feeling it. There's only so much you can do. And so that's the same for him on this end, I guess. And so I think looking for support in other ways, as well as just telling him that you want to be held, you want hug, you want more validation, but not blaming him for that it's not getting better, or not, you know, putting that on him, because that can be really easy to do. Or blaming yourself for not articulating better. Like, maybe if I said this a different way, or if I explained it better, then he would finally understand and can feel how much pain like I'm in. I think for me, I've just had to not do that anymore. Because it was exhausting. And it's not because they don't want to understand, because they do. I think it's just, they just won't. I don't know how else to say it. They just won't understand. And that's okay. That's not like their job. I don't think it's their job. I used to think that that was your partner's job. But now I just don't anymore, because I know that if you experience something that I never experienced, I wouldn't be able to fully understand. But I would be there for him, and I would offer my help, and I would cry with him if he needed to cry, or I would try to get to his level, meet him where he's at. But sometimes it's just hard. Like, we can't do that well. Sometimes when I feel sad and I do the podcast, I feel like I'm making everybody else sad. No, I'm not sad. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just a little bit tired and overwhelmed, and I feel like I need to cry. I need to cry spout. I think I said that last week. I don't think I did it though. Maybe I did. It's just one of those months, I guess. Okay, well, that's it for today, everybody. Crazy episode. I don't know how I'm ever being perceived on my podcast, so I just think it's weird. But thank you guys for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any ideas for episodes, I love when you guys comment or DM me with ideas. It helps me come up with more ideas that I know you guys want to hear. If you liked this episode, please leave a rating or a review on Spotify. You can also comment on the episode, just feedback. So that would be awesome. If you're watching on YouTube, I would love if you could like and subscribe, and also comment or just repost somewhere. That would be super helpful to the podcast. Okay, well, I'll see you guys next week back in the normal place. But I'll miss you until then. Have a good weekend. Take yourself out. Have fun. Be kind to yourself. Don't over-explain things. Love you. Bye. Ooh, heads on taking a ride to join at late. 눈치 보면서 들어갈 때 찾아.